All right. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Wednesday, December 4th of 2024. And looking ahead here, we have a six-game NBA main slate tonight, as well as a four-game NHL main slate. So it should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual support channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. We do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days, get your questions answered. All right, let's get SaberSim pulled up here and let's get some questions in the queue. Roj said, congrats on last night. Appreciate it, man. It was a nice little bink hit for 10K last night on the night slate. So that was super cool. Got some questions here. Looks like we have quite a few questions. So it should be a fun one. First one came in from Ryan. Got one on from Tuck Rule. J Sams Jr. Just going to load all these up. Got one from Sequence. Renegade. One from Jorn Vigo asked him to post it in support. It's a little bit of a tougher question for me to get to here on the show, but we got plenty of questions queued up. Let's jump in here. We will work from the top down. So we'll hit Aaron's question first. Aaron said, any tips on $1 showdown? I have about 20 in NBA. Yeah, good question. So, you know, NBA showdown is another one of those sports where you're going to need an optimal lineup to win more often than not, right? So you want to be approaching it from that perspective. One thing you can always do, right? Like say we're playing this $1.20 max, the and one for this Lakers-Miami showdown. Go back and look at other ones, right? So let's go back to yesterday. This is what I would do. So, okay, hey, let's go look at Philly-Charlotte, right? We'll just pick another one. Go to contests. The first question I'm trying to answer is duplication important here, right? This and one very similar size. So I can just click on this. And let's open it up. Go to users. Go to people who maxed it. Go to top sim ROI. And dupes are super, super important here, right? Average dupes. I mean, this contest has less than 3,000 entries. And a lot of these even top sim ROI lineups, 40 dupes, 38 dupes, 35, 13, 43, right? Like duplication is a major, major factor in this contest, right? So that's the first thing I would be noting, right? It's like, okay, hey, when I'm building my lineups for tonight's NBA showdown, I need to be conscious of duplication, right? So that's the first thing I'm going to do. There's a couple different ways you could do this. One of them is, maybe you don't play max salary lineups, right? Maybe you're like, I'm only going to play lineups that are, you know, a little bit less, right? 49.7. I would be careful going too low here. Like, I wouldn't drop this down to like 48,000, really, because, you know, projections are very important in NBA. So it's okay probably to shave off like a couple hundred in salary here. I don't even know if 49.7 is the right number, but you know, this is one thing you could do, right? But I would just be careful not going too far. Like, I would not go below like 49.5 probably if I were to take this approach. Another good option, right, is come in here and run a cash build. You know, switch build mode to optimizer. Run, you know, the top 20 cash lineups. Like, hey, what are the most popular captains? What is the most popular lineup construction? Like, oh, you know, the spread is about 3 points. Is it like even? We're seeing a lot of 3-3 builds. Are we seeing a lot of 4-2 in one team's direction, right? So just get a feel for like what the most common cash type of constructions are, because typically those would be the most duplicated lineups that you're going to find. That's another good thing you could do. Third way would be to use geometric mean, right? Come in here and either set up a rule or filter for geo mean, depending on what subscription level you're on, and take into account product ownership to limit duplication that way. If you're going to do that, what I would recommend doing is standardizing your player ownerships, right? Like we see a lot of players here on the lower side. I would standardize all these, right? So come in here. And what I mean is, like, instead of allowing all these zeros, put it like, hey, at least change everybody's ownership to one, because it helps with a geo mean calculation. And I don't even know if you're going to play some of these low guys, but at least, you know, we have this on, and then I could even set something up. What does this say? Where I don't have to view these other players who, like, aren't even playing. And the reason to do this, right, is because when the builder is going through and calculating the geo mean for the lineups, by doing this, well, one, you don't allow the geo mean to be zero since it is a multiplication problem. And then number two is if these players who are projected for less ownership come in higher owned, well, then you're only, like, guarding against that. And then if they come in at the actual ownership of 0.5% or something like that, that only benefits you because you've inflated their ownership and they came in less, which means your lineup is even more likely to be unique. So I would do that for captain. For flex, I'll typically go, like, a little bit higher. Like, I wouldn't mind changing everybody to at least, like, 5% here. So, you know, captains are, you know, you can treat them a little bit differently than the flex players. In this day and age in DFS, you see more, like, punt plays, they're called, and showdown lineups where, you know, you're playing, like, these low salary guys, low projected guys, hoping that, you know, they do well so your lineup can be unique. I think Michael Burton is a good example from this last Monday Night Football showdown. Yeah, I think he's been in the league 10 years and only had one touchdown and got his second touchdown on that slate. Just shows you how wild things can be. And then, you know, he didn't even end up being in the optimal lineup, right? It was a crazy high scoring game. So, but that would be like a punt play, right? Those punt plays get more ownership now than they ever would before. But that's how I'd be setting things up for NBA showdown. Those are the things I'd be considering. And so I hope those tips help you out. All right, next question. Andrew, how does late swap work for NBA when you are using custom projections? Does it default to using the Saberson projections, or will it still use your custom projections? Okay, good question. So it will use whatever is in the My Projection column for all games that have not started. So if you are uploading custom projections and, you know, you have a bunch of, you know, red and green boxes, and these are your custom projections, it will continue to use those. If you upload it and you save it as a file and, you know, you come in here and you change your source via the gear icon from SaberSim and say yours are named one, right? It would be using that set of projections, right? So it's always going to stick with those for all games that have not started. And the reason I say that is because let's say we're looking at tonight's slate, right? Lock comes and goes. Now there's only two games left that haven't started, right? So for all the games, first off, these games don't matter, right? When we run the late swap, we don't even run the games that have already started, okay? We are only running the games that are open. And the reason for that is because we're just locking in those players. And then we're saying, hey, we have these many positions left. We have this much salary left. Run the games for the players that are available. And then based on how those games play out, put the best players into the lineups based on what's remaining, right? So that's how late swap works. Now, for the contest sim engine, right, when you're running your live contest sim, we are using the live projections. So we are switching from your pre-slate projections to the live projections, since those players cannot be altered. So, you know, if you have 50% LeBron, doesn't matter how the contest sim comes out, you know, you're still going to have 50% LeBron because those games already locked. So for lock games, we switch to SaberSim live. And then for games that have not started, we continue to use your custom projections. All right. Good stuff there. Next question. I have played about 50 of the NBA SaberSim builds and have yet to rank in the top 200 in any of the contests. I used another DFS site's information last week and was number two with one of their five builds on my very first contest. I always see Sabres and players near the top of the NBA and NFL contests, and that's what brought me here in the first place. I seem to be getting a lot of repeat players and very little variety in the lineups that Sabersim builds. What can I do differently in order to vastly improve my results? For example, Sabersim created several builds tonight with Jordan Poole and Brogdon on FanDuel. No mention of Halliburton or Washington. Okay, so a couple things here. Number one, I would say one of the best things that you can probably do is sign up for our build review show. That is our show that we do on Mondays and Fridays, where I bring users' builds up on stream, giving them personalized feedback and advice, reviewing their contest selection, reviewing the decisions they made in their build, looking for any tips or tricks that I can give them to help them improve their results. So I would say sign up for the show. You know, it's probably like the best thing that you could do. So to sign up for the show, let me know what sport and slate and site you want me to review. If you're on DraftKings, give me your DraftKings username so I can pull up your results in contest flashback. If you're on FanDuel, that's fine. We don't have contest flashback since we can't download the data from FanDuel, but I could at least still go into your builds and review them. So signing up for the build review show, definitely going to be one of the best things that you can do. Second thing that I would do is I would go and check out the, even like as a refresher, I would go over to our YouTube channel and check out our videos on our How to Beat NBA DFS in 2024 playlist. So on our YouTube channel, go to playlists, go to How to Beat NBA DFS in 2024. And let me just pull up the video list. And then start with this How to Build NBA Build winning NBA DFS lineups video. This would be a really good video, even as a refresher, even if you've already seen it. That'll be a really good one to do. And then just like some other important things that I think are important in general. Hold on. I think it's really important to have a process where you do the same exact things every single day. Now, the only way I've learned to do that is by writing it down, where you have either, you know, a Word doc or a pen and a paper, or you're doing something where you are tracking the steps that you're taking, right? So first, just if you've never done this before, if anybody wants to try this, it's really good exercise. This is something that Andy made me do, you know, months, maybe years ago. And he said, okay, you know, go through your process and just write down everything you do. Don't do anything else. Just build for tonight and write down everything you do. It's like, okay. And then the next day, it's like, okay, go back and say, okay, why did I do this? And if you can justify it, keep it. If you can't justify it, or you don't know why you're doing it, or you don't have a great reason for doing it, then get rid of it, right? Probably just wasting time. Probably not even adding that much value. And two things come from that. Number one, you know exactly what you're doing and why. And then number two is the stuff that wasn't as useful takes more time, and it allows for more of your time to be used on the higher value things that you're doing. And then the third thing that it does is that if you need to make adjustments to your process, if you're reviewing the results and you know, some ROIs aren't good, well, you can figure out, okay, hey, what should I remove or what should I add? And then, you know, this is something that's happened to me in the past where I will add new things to my process, and sometimes I forget about old things that were actually really good, right? So this way, you know, we have this checklist. You're never going to, you know, forget something in your memory, right? You're still going to remember. You're still going to have it listed there for you to check that box as you go down. So getting more objective, you know, steps in your process rather than throwing things at the wall and hoping it sticks day after day is going to help you to honestly just improve and iterate on your process over time. So those would be some things that I would be recommending here. But first is signing up for the build review show. Okay. Couple more questions. Can we figure out how many minutes a player will play in the first half of a basketball game, or how many snaps a football player will have for the first half? We don't have this type of data, like you know, we have full minutes here, right? Like I can show you, hey, you know, on average in our sims, Giannis plays 34.77 minutes. I don't know how many of those come from the first half. And same thing for football. We don't have snap count data here. We have like targets, receptions, or I don't think we have targets. I think we have like receptions, receiving yards, rushing yards. We have some detailed stats, but a lot of our information in the app is all geared toward DFS and DFS scoring, which is why you don't see some of that other data that would be used for, you know, sports betting and things like that. So not going to be your best resource for some of the first half stats that you're looking for. All right. Next question. Congrats on the hit, Andrew. Could you go over your contest selection and volume for NBA on DK? I'm interested to learn a reasonable target for each slate. Thank you. Yeah, of course. So I did mention this in the Discord. The contest that I won yesterday was a $222 six max contest. That is not something I normally play, but DK has been running this promotion for the NBA Cup where you like play three lineups that are over $200 and they're like tracking. They're doing like a leaderboard over the month where you can like win a milli ticket to the NBA milli or to the 3K NFL milli. So that's specifically why I've been playing those contests, which are like twice a week. And that was actually the last one. They've been doing it for like the last month here. So nice to finish that on a high note. But as far as my normal contest selection goes, I am really following the DFS profit plan, which if you're not familiar with it, you can find it on our YouTube channel. So on our YouTube, go down to popular videos, and I'll drop this here in the YouTube chat. The DFS profit plan, start winning more with our DFS profit plan, which, you know, the TLDR of it is that you play about 2.5 to 5% of your bankroll on any given day. You play 25 to 50% of your action in single entries and three maxes, 50 to 75% in 20 max and 150 maxes. And you go from there, right? So like, those are like major key points, highlights of the profit plan. One thing I've been doing specifically is for NBA, first off, I'm only playing classic slates, but I'm specifically trying to play as many of the smaller classic slates as possible. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get more action in uncorrelated slates. Like, hey, you know, this two-game express slate is not correlated to the after-hour slate, but the after-hour slate and or the games on the after-hour slate and the express slate are both on the main slate, right? So I'm trying to segment my entry fees as much as possible where, you know, I could do really bad and have bad assumptions about what's going to happen on the express slate. Well, those assumptions are going to be correlated to my main slate results, right? They're going to have an impact since those players share that slate. But if I do bad on the express slate, that has no impact on how my lineups are going to do on the after hour slate. So I try and do as much of that as possible. I do a ton of that for NFL. You know, I play all the NFL showdowns. And then, you know, the main slate for NFL is literally the last thing that I play. I play, you know, the afternoon only, the afternoon turbo, the early only, the Sunday night to Monday night, the Monday night to Thursday night, right? Like all these 2, 3, 4 game slates, I'll play as many of those as I can before, you know, playing the main slate, right? So for NBA, I would be doing something similar. I'd be going, you know, smallest to largest, you know, express, after hours, then maybe main, you know, on a night like tonight where there's only 6 games. Some things that I found with that. It is challenging to do multiple sites. In a perfect world, I would be playing, you know, the small slates on FanDuel and DK, and then probably start with like main slates on like Owner's Box, Yahoo, and then on like FanDuel and DraftKings, like last. That is incredibly challenging to do with late breaking news. So what I've done is I more often than not just play on one site per night simply due to the ability to get all of my swaps in and all of my lineups in on time, right? So I've mostly been playing on FanDuel. I only played on DK, you know, because of the promotion. But FanDuel is where I've been allocating most of my time to. So that's just something I've learned, like, from practice. Like, hey, you know, I cannot play, you know, after hours on DK and FanDuel and Express on DK and FanDuel and main on both and get all of my lineups in on time, right? So you got to figure out what is viable for you. And if you can, great, you know, more power to you. But I've had a lot of trouble with that and, like, getting, because then they just start stacking up, right? It's like, okay, hey, I need to get my swap in for the main, but then I need to get my first lineups in for the Express. And, like, what if the Express has a late swap window, then I got a late swap for that one, and then got to get my other lineups in. And, like, it just, you know, builds really quickly to becoming unmanageable. So you got to figure out what you can manage and make decisions from there. I think it's also okay to just go through the lobbies and just go lowest to highest, you know, if you just want to start with the lowest dollar fee and go up and go from there, right? That's, like, another way to do it. But that's basically how I've been approaching contest selection for NBA. All right. Next question. What's the process to hand build a single entry and run the sims to see the ROI? Okay, good question. So what you would have to do is first build the single entry, right? So, like, I could demo this. So let me just build a single entry here on my phone for tonight's NBA slate. All right. So I'm just going to enter like one entry in, like, a dime time, something super simple. All right. So you build your lineup on your phone or however you want to build your lineup, right? Then what I would do is I'd go to the contest tab for the slate that you're playing. I would go to upload entries, and then I would download the file, right? I would not upload the file. Instead, I would open the CSV. So when you open the CSV, oh, I didn't build a lineup. I just reserved it. My bad. Let me go build it. Okay, upcoming. And I'll try to make something halfway decent with names that I recognize. Brown. Daniels, Hawkes, let's go Naz Reid, Prechard, maybe Dalton Netsch, that's how you pronounce his name, and then last but not least, Jalen Suggs. All right, we got our lineup. So I'm going to do this again. Click download. Should have the lineup now. Okay, good. It does. So this is what it looks like, right? So I see my one lineup here. So first thing I need to do, I need to delete these columns. That way we get the lineup with the first player in column A. So if I delete columns A through D, click delete. Okay, boom, that's exactly how I need it. So then I can just click save. Then I go to a build that has no lineups in it. I right-click on it, I go to upload pool, and then I go and grab the file that I just had. This will upload the lineup into a build. So I see my one lineup. And then I would just go and set up my contest sim, and then I would click and run. So then that would run the contest sim, the one lineup through the contest sim engine. So it's really just building the lineup, importing it into a build, and then doing it here. Another way you could do it is if you had a build fine. So maybe you don't want to do it like that for whatever reason. Maybe you're doing it on your phone and, you know, you don't really have like the capability to be like. All right. So what I would do is I would just come in here and then I would just alter a lineup via the pencil icon. So click the pencil icon, come in here, you know, get rid of all these players with the X, and then go and just add all your players in here, right? Like, okay, Giannis, okay, you know, so-and-so, right? And you just build your lineup. And then once you save it, you can do the same exact thing, come in, run the contest sim. It'll run it with your updated lineup, and then you can see the results that way. So one of those two things should work. All right. Next question. I'm still having confusion on late swap. Is it possible to run a build on it? I was doing unique rank on pre-lock and rank on late swap. This was before group duplicates was introduced. Okay, so let me just explain how these things work. So unique rank will make sure that every entry gets a unique lineup. So if you have 10 single entries, unique rank will make sure that you get 10 different lineups. What rank will do is if one of those lineups is the best lineup for more than one contest, it will allow it to be used. So for rank, you could end up with 7 unique lineups in your 10 single entries. If, you know, some of those lineups overlapped and were good more than once. So that's what rank does. Now, group duplicates is a new feature that's on beta specifically, where it allows for you to tell SaberSim up front that maybe you have a one lineup in 3 single entries. By using group duplicates, you're telling SaberSim, hey, I want this one lineup to be the same and to stay the same across all 3 of these contests. So then SaberSim knows, hey, we're just going to late swap the lineup once, but then we're going to go and put it into all of the other entries that it's already in. So that is what's going on with group duplicates. All right. Good stuff there. Demetrius said, can you demonstrate a build for NBA Showdown and an NBA main slate? Thank you. Yeah, we already were doing this Showdown one, and I don't think we finished it. So why don't we go over here, actually build some lineups. So, you know, I dropped my min salary. I did some stuff to standardize ownership. And let's say I want to build 2,000 lineups, right? So we already set this one up. So we can go run this. And then, you know, while you run this, right, in case you guys didn't know, you could run build simultaneously. Maybe you're playing both of these slates and you don't want to wait for one to finish before starting the other. Hey, go to your main slate. I'll just open up a new build while this one's running and then go set it up. You know, a couple adjustments to projections. I'm just going to build 200 lineups, or 2,000 is fine. And did I make 2 changes? Yep, 2 changes. Kick this one off. So these two can be running simultaneously. And I'll wait for this one to start going. Once lineups start building, you know, everything's working fine. And then jump back to my Showdown, which is just about finished up. All right. So we're in this NBA Showdown. And one thing we talked about was using GeoMean on this contest, right? So what I could do is go ahead and set up a GeoMean custom metric if you have custom metric availability. If not, I would do this as a rule. But GeoMean custom metric, my own product, GeoMean value. Go to my filters. Now that I have the custom metric set up, this will be available in this dropdown. So then I want to say show lineups with GeoMean less than X, right? Now I'm just going to make up a number. I don't know, maybe 35. And no lineups in the trash, right? So this number is not aggressive enough. So let's drop it. Let's try 30. Okay, at 30, we start to see some lineups in the trash. Now, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to lower this number until I get about 10% of my lineups in the trash, which is not contest specific, but is a way that you can use this. Keep lowering it. We're at about 5%. And now we're a little above 10% here at a geo mean of 27. So this is great, right? We're accounting for duplication. We saw how important duplication was in yesterday's $1.20 max. And we're doing the same here, right? So we're using the geo mean. This would be a good time to run your contest sim if you have one. If not, stick with single game saber score. It's a fine option. And then what I really want to do is I want to come in here and I want to make sure that I'm comfortable with the stands that I'm taking, right? So, okay, top exposed captain, LeBron, pretty high ownership already. Makes sense. Bam Adebayo, another second highest exposed, Anthony Davis. You know, these are all high salary, high point projected players. Makes a lot of sense. We're taking a couple shots in some of these lower players, right? Like, you might want to look into these. So I've never even heard of Jaleel Hood, Schifino, or Armel Traore, right? What I would do is I would go and look to say, like, hey, why are we getting these guys in the first place? And the way I would do that is probably just by going to the Lakers, sorting by projection, and seeing who's out, right? It's like, okay, you know, some of these guys are out. Hayes, Wood, Vanderbilt, Bronny, Reeves. I would assume they've been out. And in my opinion, playing players projected for less than 10 minutes and the captain, not something I would like to do. And it's just more of like a risk management thing, which is like totally fine, right? So like I would come in here and zero these players out personally. And this is just, you know, risk management decisions here, right? So then now I have LeBron, AD, D'Angelo Russell, and Bam, right? This feels a little bit better to me. Okay, next thing I would do, jump over to my utility players and just kind of go through the same process, right? Hey, my highest leverage, again, is to this Traore guy. You know, considering he's 10% owned, I have 50% exposure. You know, this feels like too much to me, right? I'm just managing risk. So I would probably come in here, say, you know what? I'm okay being like double the field on this low minute player. And it's like, hey, is there anybody else like that that really stands out to me? Maybe Alec Burks, right? Like a little bit here. Maybe I'm okay with 30%, not 20, not a little higher than 20%. The Schifino guy, same thing, right? Maybe I'm okay with like 25%. And so here I'm just managing risk, making some decisions, making sure I'm comfortable with the lineups I'm playing. Super important to enter a set of lineups that you are comfortable with. And I'm still getting leverage on those guys. I'm just lowering it, right? Because I think they're very volatile. But from here, I'd be about ready to rock and roll. You know, I'm so if I were building NBA Showdown lineups, I think this is a pretty solid workflow. All right, then we jump over, you know, we're done with our showdown. Cool, we jump over to main slate, great. This would be a good time to run your contest sim if you have it. If not, stick with Saber Score. And then come in here and do similar things, not all the same. So what I would really like to do here is set up a couple aggregate metrics. Say, hey, show me average projection and then average ROI for using the contest sim. Oops, didn't save that. All right, let's just say, you know, we're rolling with Saber Score here, right? 260.8 sim average projection across our 20 lineups. I'm going to start increasing with increasing my mini uniques, right? And I want to get to a point where my mini uniques start to adjust my average projection significantly here. So at 4 uniques, it's down about 1-ish, about 1 point. 5 points, it drops another 2. I would stop at 5 or go back to 4. Either one of these options is fine, whatever you want to do. this is a really good opportunity to look at your leverages and your exposures and figure out what, at what level you're more comfortable with what you're seeing. So like at four uniques, we have two players at 75%. At five uniques, we have two players at 60%, right? So the five uniques, the exposures are a little bit flatter. If you like these leverages, because it's still plenty of leverage on these top two players, stick with five, right? This is a good, you know, threshold to be in where you're about double their ownership here. This is totally fine, right? And I think some of these pre-slate adjustments will matter more on a slate where four out of the six games on the slate start right at lock. So make sure to spend a little bit extra time today, you know, dialing these things in, managing your risk, making some decisions about what you want your lineups to look like, and go from there. But that's what I'd be doing for a classic slate today. All right. Wade said, I can't seem to run two separate builds on this new Saber sim. When I go to upload it, it doesn't quite work. This one's like a little bit hard for me to answer here on office hours, but what you can do, right, is you can run lineups in your two different builds here. And then when you go to save, you can just select the contest that you want to save in one build, go to your other build, select the contest that you want to save in that one, save those contests. And then once you're done saving, I would download them all together from the download button on the left and then upload it once. So don't upload in batches, save in batches, and then download once and then upload once. So if you're having trouble with that, go to the top right corner, go to report a problem, describe what you're experiencing in a little bit more detail. That will go to our support team. And we will be able to help you out from there. All right. Gabriel said, they run 200 plus lineups. That's how you see the same names every week over and over, combined with using sims. You're going to hit these guys aren't hand building, which is why I take info with a grain of salt on these shows. So you're absolutely right. We are not hand building at all. We are using the simulation engine and our game by game sims here. So, you know, honestly, one of the worst things that you could do in DFS is play, you know, one lineup a night. And the reason for that is because of how big these contests are, right? Like, let's say you go to a single entry tonight. And let's say we're playing the $40 single entry. Pretty good contest, decently sized, good price to first, right? One entry. At least you know everybody has the same amount of entries in this contest, right? So there are 457 entries in this contest. So let's imagine that you are twice as good as everybody else in the contest. You are twice as good as every other player. You're that good at DFS. Your odds of winning go from 1 out of 457 to 1 out of 228. You know, you still need to play this contest 228 times to realize your mathematical edge in this contest, you know? And there are 180 main slates approximately in an NBA season. So what my point is, you could be twice as good as everybody else in this contest and still not win it in an NBA season, right? Even though you are, you know, crushing as far as, you know, all your metrics go and things like that. So playing one lineup a night, you know, hand building it is not something that we recommend. You're right. You know, we do recommend playing 200 plus lineups a night, and for the exact reasons that I just talked about. Like, you know, the DFS profit plan came from a back testing project, which you can learn about if you go to our podcasts and you go to Behind the Sims here. You know, we did a whole deep dive into all of this contest selection in episodes 1 through 5 of the Behind the Sims playlist. And, you know, what we found, which I could summarize it here in a single screenshot. I think it's this NBA NFL playlist. Yeah, it's right here. So when I was giving the single entry example, it's because of what we see right here. It's what we did was we took one player who had a 20% expected ROI. So expected to be, you know, that much better than the field, win that much on average. Put that player into all single entries, put that player into all multi-entry, or we put that player into a balance of the two. And key points here for me, bankroll needed for 0% bust was the highest by far for the single entry player. So that just shows you how high variance it is playing only single entries, playing only a small number of lineups a night. And then it lessens with multi-entry, but it is the lowest when you play a balance of the two. Keep in mind, all these players, you know, by the end of the season, their end of the season expectation was the same, but the bankroll needed for the only single entries was a lot higher. And then lastly, the single entry player could play the lowest amount of their money each night. So we absolutely recommend playing 200 plus lineups a night while being bankroll conscious. You know, that's like the most important thing. Like, that's why I think playing on FanDuel is actually a really good idea, because they always have their 5 cent 150 max contest where you are wagering $7.50 and you are getting 150 lineups on the night. And then, you know, they have a 25 cent 150 max too. You know, DK only runs a 50 cent 150 max, right? So on FanDuel, you can get 300 lineups in for about $40. And that is, you know, a great opportunity to play a lot of lineups while being bankroll conscious. So yeah, you're totally right about our recommendations. All right. Wade said, to win, you have to make good plays still and be overweight to the field on certain plays that do well and use these programs. I think that's the key. So what I would say is that, you know, you don't need to have a crystal ball to win. You don't need to know who the best players are going to be. You don't need to take these huge stands. You know, I've done plenty of build review shows and like studied the best players, and you know, they don't go all in on like a couple plays that they think are going to hit. You know, they're taking a spread out approach and they're trying to give themselves as many shots on goal to win as possible. When you play with a tight core, when you play with a lot of exposure to a handful of players, all of your, you know, how you end up at the end of the night, basically comes down to all of those players, right? When you take a more spread out approach, when you're using them in uniques, when you're spreading out your exposures, you know, how one player does not have an impact on your overall night in as a whole, right? Like, some of your lineups could be dead. Yeah, sure. But you still have other lineups that are live because you spread out your risk, right? So think about that like that. All right. Rose said, so I understand the concepts a bit more. Chris says he uses unique rank on pre-lock and rank on late swap. So if you have group duplicates enabled, rank will keep those duplicates, even though rank by design can possibly break unique since that lineup is the best lineup in other contests, but that option overrides it. Okay, that makes sense to me. If Chris is saying that, I would definitely listen. You know, group duplicates is new, so there's definitely going to be some things to learn or understand about how it works going forward. All right. Matthew said, how much is too much exposure to one player on an NBA slate like tonight? Okay. So what I like to think about when thinking about this is how owned is that player? Because you don't really need to think about the exposure you have to a player. You need to think about the leverage you have to a player, right? So you want to be looking at this leverage column. The reason I say that, let's say you're playing a slate and, or let's just say like you have a rule of thumb that, you know what, I never want to play a player in more than 50% of my lineups. Okay. You know, that's your rule, right? But what if you're playing a slate and so-and-so, you know, LeBron James is 90% owned. Well, by using your rule, you will automatically have negative leverage on LeBron James, and you will never have equal leverage as the field does, right? So that's like kind of where that logic breaks down of like how much exposure is too much exposure, because it always depends, right? Like how owned is the player you're talking about, right? That's the way I like to think about it. Rules of thumb I'll use is I think it's a fine rule of thumb to like have no more than 2 to 3x exposure compared to a player's ownership, right? You got to figure out where you fall in that spectrum. Like, so like for D'Angelo Russell, right? Having, you know, by my calculation, having 60% of him is fine, right? Like this is a fine exposure to have to him. But then we go and take somebody like Mo Wagner down here at like 10% owned, you know, having 60% of him is probably really aggressive and maybe I don't need that much, right? So there was a interview that Andy did with Elusive Smoke, one of our Millie Maker winners, and they were talking about leverage and exposure and things like that. And Spencer, who is Elusive Smoke, he made a comment and he was like, you know, you don't need 100% of a 1% owned guy to win. You could have 10% of that player, and that gives you plenty of opportunities to have more exposure than the field does and to get leverage, but you're not so over leveraged on that player. And I always remember that he said that, you know, I always try to listen to those Millie interviews and learn from players that are, you know, better than me. So I always remember him saying that, which is why I try and manage my risk. All right. Rose, if you have more questions about the group duplicates, I would definitely keep going back and forth with Chris on these. It seems like he has a pretty good handle on what's going on there, and I haven't messed around with it too much over in beta just yet. All right, next question. Does autofill ignore min and max exposures? So no, it does not ignore min and max exposures, which can actually be a bit of a downfall if you're playing a lot of single entries. And so the reason I say that, right, is because let's say we're building lineups here, and let's say you have one lineup. So in my one lineup, players are either let's say I had a max exposure here of 10% to Giannis, right? I had set that. Well, since you have this 10% exposure, the builder cannot ignore it. So it has to go higher than zero, and its only option is 100, right? So by having a minimum exposure to Giannis, now the builder has to go and find a lineup with him in it for your single entry. And it, you know, goes from lineup one down to lineup 24. So minimax exposures are not ignored in autofill, and they are applied to every single contest that you're playing. So what people seem to not like that effect that it has. So what I've recommended people do is use minimax exposures in one build for your autofill, and then run a different build for your single entries and three maxes, where you either use direct fill and your exposures apply to all of your contests as a whole, or use autofill with no minimax exposures for your single entries and three maxes. So it's entry amount dependent. It's always depending on how many lineups there are in the contest that you're filling, right? So no matter what, it will apply on a contest by contest level. So three lineups, 20 lineups, 150 lineups, it's going to apply the same way to all of those. All right. I think we had a couple other questions in the Discord, so let's check those out. Jay and Wallen. Oh, okay. It looks like Sean answered this. So it said, why are the projections for a player wildly different on a different slate, showdown versus multi? We were probably looking at captain for like LeBron and stuff. You know, they had like 70 plus points or something like that. So that's where they get the 1.5x multiplier. But it looks like you and Sean figured that one out. So appreciate you jumping in there, Sean. All right, Matthew said, when you change exposures, I notice the ROI will sometimes drastically fall. Is it okay to ignore that sometimes? I think it's a good data point to have, right? I think it's a good question to ask yourself. Like, hey, am I so convicted about these exposure changes that I'm willing to sacrifice what the sim is saying is higher ROI to get to my adjustments, right? And that's a question you got to ask yourself. Like, I think it's a good opportunity to rethink those adjustments. Like, okay, you know, do I really want 40% of this guy? What about 20%? You know, maybe drop it down a little bit, right? Or maybe you're like, you know what? No, I think this guy's a great play. I'm gonna stick with it, and I'm gonna take the ROI sacrifice. Or like, you know what? Maybe I don't feel as strongly about this play as I thought I did, since SaberSim's telling me something different, right? Like, those are effectively the three options that you have, is to stick with it, abandon it, or lower it slightly and try and find a happy medium. You got to figure out which one matters to you there. It's going to all come down to how strongly you feel about the change that you're making. All right. Nice long show today. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Appreciate all the questions. We are all caught up here in both the Discord and the YouTube chat. So I will see you all tomorrow for Thursday's show, 4 p.m. Eastern. Until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. One more from Matthew. Seems like when you spread out ownership, it goes down. If I'm looking for less risk, it seems like the ROI is lower. That's expected, right? Because what the builder's doing, it's identifying the best plays that lead to the highest ROI. You know, the builder is not great at diversification alone. It's going to be like, hey, I've identified this group of players, this combination of players to help you get to higher ROI lineups. Any change you make, mini uniques, max exposures, etc., you are trading ROI for diversification for less risk. That is typically, I would say, a good trade-off, right? The reason we recommend the aggregate metrics is because you can see the trade-off. Like, hey, I'm getting to 4 min uniques before my ROI drops by 10%. That's awesome, right? But at 5%, my ROI drops another 50%. Maybe that's too far, right? It's trying to help you figure out where that, you know, point is where you might not want to go any further. So that is totally normal. It is important to manage risk in DFS, even if you have to sacrifice some ROI to do so. So I would say it's an okay trade-off. Just be careful about not going too far. All right. Appreciate you guys. I'll see you all tomorrow. Till then, good luck. Take care. Thanks. Bye.